will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told you what I really would your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Yes. Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really need from thee, would your heart and soul say yes? And tell the Lord yes. Yes. See yes. 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 Say, I'll obey yes. Jesus. Yes. I won't stray, yes. Jesus. But this time I'm yes. My soul says it. Jesus. My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there is more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry places. I'm calling you out of your dry places. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will, to do my will. He said, seek my face. He says, seek my face. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're going to tell God yes, make it personal.
Just waiting for the children to leave the sanctuary. Just start declaring his praises. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, for your powerful presence in our midst right now. For in your powerful presence, there is a multitude of things that we could receive from you, and we're just so grateful and thankful. For you send your peace and your joy in your presence. You send your anointing and power and might in your presence. You send your love to us in your presence. And so we're grateful that in your presence here this day, we receive these things that we might have a boldness and an authority to bring your name and your word to a hurting world. For greater is he that's in us than he who is in the world. And for it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You will accomplish mighty things in my name. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And as we bring this presence of God into this hurting world, we will see mighty things happen on the spirit realm and in the spirit realm. For God so chooses to use us as vessels for his glory. God so chooses to use us in power and might to accomplish all that he wants us to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just so appreciate your presence. Thank you, Lord. Father, we have two members at Coxsackie Correctional Facility right now doing a three-day weekend, Lord, with the men of Coxsackie. And we just declare in Jesus' name that the foundations of that place will be shaken and that not a single man in that facility will be untouched, even if they're not in those meetings. For we just declare in Jesus' name that the powerful presence, as it was with Paul and Silas, will be with the team of men that are in that prison right now, sharing good news of Jesus Christ. And we just declare, as the word comes forth this very day, that lives will be changed and that supernatural events will occur unhindered, for the powerful presence of God is there also. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the power of agreement. You said, where two are in agreement as to touching anything, it shall be done for them. And we are in agreement today in Jesus' name for the powerful presence of God, not only here, but in that facility in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into the throne room of grace with boldness and with confidence and receive mercy and grace in any time of need. And so therefore, we're coming to you this very day with boldness and confidence into your throne room, expecting and ready to receive your mercy and grace so that we in turn could go out powerfully to share your good news in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Anybody ready to go out and now share some good news? Because you've received something today. But there's an expectation, and what would that be? To give it away. You see, there's a principle in the kingdom is that when you receive, the best way to receive more is to do what? To give it away. He's not going to... Thank you, Lord. Well... just agree with you right now that the Lord gives me a direction because the direction has been changed as to the original. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 weeks ago on Saturday, Vaughn came to Diane and I and said that you'll preach on Sunday about healing. And as I was putting together some thoughts and some notes about what I would speak on, I realized that healing does not take place in a vacuum or a void or just singly as an event. You see, healing takes place in the presence of God. So does prophecy take place in the presence of God. His peace that comes upon you takes place in his joy, which just overflows even in the midst of destructive things in your life. Takes place in? Yes. presence of God. So understand that healing will take place as we seek Him and just start to share what we've received. Because we really can't give away something that we don't have. And so, what I present to you is this. I was born into the spirit realm when I made a decision for Christ in the middle of some of the most phenomenal miracles. You see, my sister was in a head-on collision. Her neck was broken. And 1 week after prayer, her neck was supernaturally healed. She was taken out of the traction bed. 8 months after that, my dad was given 2 months to live by Sloan Kettering. And they was given no hope. And he lived 22 years after that death sentence that Sloan Kettering gave. And that was the time that a couple came to our house and prayed, and Diane and I gave our hearts to the Lord. So you see, I was born again and spirit-filled on that day, 30 years ago, this spring. I have my 30th birthday in the Spirit of God. Amen. Coming up real soon. And so I was born into that situation. You see, if you're born into a household that's filled with anger, you will grow up to be what?
Angry
person. If you grow up in a household that's filled with joy, you will be probably, more than likely, a joyful person. And Diane and I were born into the spirit realm with miracles. We saw some powerful things of God. So it's no wonder when my son put a Christmas tree ball in his mouth and it exploded and he was bleeding and choking on the glass, that instead of grabbing him and putting him in my arm saying he's going to die, he's going to die, he's going to die, I simply spoke to the glass and it immediately disappeared and he stopped choking and stopped bleeding. I had the blood on the floor to prove it, on the rug.
Amen, amen.
But I couldn't find any glass, and he just walked off of that. And I'm saying to myself, and when the person that had AIDS was literally carried into First Baptist Church here in Kingston and was placed on a pew, and they grabbed the guy that was crazy enough to believe that God actually did do miracles today. That's a wonderful thing in a Baptist church, don't you agree? Amen? No, don't go there. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it was a natural thing for me to, like breathing, to just simply declare in Jesus' name, be healed. And the man was healed of AIDS. Healed of AIDS. I mean, it was a natural thing, like breathing, when we went with Vaughn to a Korean church. And a woman came up that had leukemia. And when Diane prayed for this woman, she heard the words. You see, when we pray for somebody, I got to give you the definition of prayer. Definition of prayer is this. It's communication with God. You say something, you wait and you listen for His voice. And Diane prayed that day in the spirit because it's words that, okay, you following where I'm going with this? Okay, it's words that we can't even humanly express, but God is placing things into our spirit. So she was praying for this woman and she was doing it in the spirit. And then she commanded the leukemia to go. And then God said, give her your card and tell her when she is healed to give you a call 3 weeks later. She goes, the doctors can't find the leukemia anymore. I'm healed. What type of thing? Now, you see, you got to understand. Now, by the way, everybody put the sheets down now. I'm a school teacher. And most of the time I'll have students working on worksheets where they have to fill in some words. This is what I was going to preach on today, but I was like, you know... No time for that. So you're going to have to go home and do something about it, right? Because you see, I didn't pray for that person with AIDS. And Diane didn't pray for that person with leukemia without the requirement of finding out what the Lord had me to do when placed in that situation. I still had to, after my salvation day, the day that I gave my heart to the Lord, I still had to start listening to the word and letting it to go from here to here and allowing it to start coming out of my mouth and believing that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was all sufficient to accomplish everything that we're asking him in his name. Because there's many people. Have you ever heard of somebody that was miraculously healed of something and they were saved that day because of the miracle, and then 1 year later they're walking as a heathen just as they were, or maybe even worse? Well, that's because miracles and healing is a sign. What does a sign do? It points you in a direction. But if you don't actively walk in that direction, you may not see the fulfillment of what God is doing in your life. There are three things that I have found that are very important to me as far as seeing the Lord's power manifest in my life. I need to constantly be aware that the name of Jesus has power. In my name, you shall. He has given us that authority on this earth. In my name, you shall. Who's you? Raise your hand if you think you are you. Well, you know, you got to settle that in your spirit, because, you know, if you're going to sit there thinking that, well, the preacher has the anointing for healing, and so until I put my hand on you, you're not going to get healed, well, you're probably not going to get healed. You see, the woman with the issue of blood had to press in.
That's right. Amen.
She had to place a demand on the anointing of Jesus.
Right.
The woman whose daughter was sick and Jesus wasn't even talking to her until she said a word of faith. Even the dogs get the crumbs, and Jesus turned to her and said, "Woo! Oh my! Now I see some faith. Go home, your daughter's healed." You see, so you got to place a demand on the presence of God. Now, by a demand, I mean, I'm talking about being demanding. I'm talking about pressing in with all that you have into the presence of God. And in that presence, you're going to start to see the manifold presence of God. Because you've been given authority. Jesus said, "I give you the authority and the power." Now, remember, authority and power are different. I mean, I could tell you that I have authority. Diane's laughing because I haven't played with this badge in a long time. We were driving down to the Shawangunk prison. We minister all the time in the Shawangunk prison, and our brothers there are super brothers in the Lord. And there was a woman going maybe 60 miles an hour in the passing lane, and she was talking on her phone. Now, I better not say how I drive, because that would incriminate me. But, I mean, I was just, I get, that's where I have to sanctify myself, is when I get behind the wheel. Anybody like that? Man, I experience, you know, sharing God's love all the time, except for when you put me behind the wheel. Then I get like a crazy man. Well, I pulled up to the side of the, I pulled in the not the passing lane, the, you know, the standard lane, on the right side of this person, and I indicated like this, that she shouldn't be talking on her phone. Donnie goes, "Don't do that." And I said, "What do you want me to do, pull out my badge?" And she gets this big grin on her face. She goes, so I reached in my pocket, I pulled out the badge, and I flashed it at her. All of a sudden, this phone clicked shut, and she goes, and she mouthed the words, "Sorry." She slowed down immediately. All of a sudden, she pulls in behind me. Well, that's biblical authority. Do you understand this concept? This isn't a police badge. This is an emergency medical technician badge. It's got my name on it. It's got the numbers. It's a real badge. And it's really mine, and it's really got my name on it. Now, Jesus gave you the authority in Jesus' name. In the spirit realm. We need to get that concept that we also have the authority. When we come against something that is higher than the name of Jesus, higher than Jesus or God himself, that we have the authority against that. We have the authority in that situation. But you see, if she didn't pull over and she just continued to do like this, I was powerless to get her to change. She could have just kept right on talking on that phone, and I could have done nothing. You see, there's authority in the name of Jesus, but there's also power in the name of Jesus. Now, if I pulled my sidearm out and I stuck it out the window, she'd go, slow down right quick. You see, you've also been given the power of God. I'm finishing up right now, even though I'm just getting started, man. Because I'm passing the mic to my wonderful wife, Diane. But I want you to know this. If you want to see healing in your life, please find yourself in the presence of God and start to do whatever you can to start hearing his voice. And then start acting on it. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God are very important to you. Please look over these sheets. And know that you can walk as Jesus walked here on this earth. You got to believe it. I mean, I can tell you story after story after story. I mean, even Diane DeSico was healed immediately of a cancer. She was in total pain. And I just prayed for that, and it left. I'm not talking about something that happened, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm talking about miracles that have been occurring. Now, you might think I'm cocky, okay? I mean, when the person came in, I was the person who laid my hands on and in faith saw that person healed. Yes. That's not a cockiness. That's just a boldness. Because the apostles in Acts 4 said, Lord, consider their threats. And put more boldness on so we can keep preaching, even though they just got put in prison. That's right. Do you realize the concept here? Make us even more bolder to just step out by faith, to just start speaking your word and just allowing your powerful presence. Remember what I said, it's in the presence of God that things are going to change. Amen. On the spirit realm. You're not going to just speak the words. I mean, I've got Jesus in my class at school. And he sits in the third row. Oh, that's right, I call him Jesus. I didn't mean to go there. You see, the name of Jesus is being used by people here on this earth. And it's a concept that has authority in it. And then when you start moving in authority, if you believe, the power will start occurring. Now, if I was to blow up a house with dynamite, bam! Understand that the Greek word in scriptures for power is dunamis, which is the same word that we get dynamite and dynamo from. Dunamis power, you've been given power. Dynamite power, okay. So I blow somebody's house up and I get before the judge and the judge asks me, why did you blow the house up? And you go, I didn't blow it up, the dynamite did. The judge would then put you in some sort of room, you know what I mean, where you can't hurt yourself. In the same way, Jesus said, the same things I did, you shall do.
That's right.
And as we start taking steps of faith with his word, just believing, and these signs shall follow those who believe. How many of you believe? So start taking some steps of faith here and watch God move, because it's not going to be your power that accomplishes it. It's going to be the power of God that accomplishes it through you. But if you say nothing, the power is not going to go boom. And so, with that, I charge you to read these sheets I gave. When you get home, and not when Diane's speaking, okay? Because I'll start out, never mind, I was going to say, I'll get like one. I'll come over and... But you know what? There's a place for discipline in your life, because when my son put that Christmas tree ball in his mouth, what came out of my mouth was the word of God. Because if you're going to be speaking words out of your own mind, they're going to go back to a base form, and that's fear. And in situations like that, you don't want fear coming out of your mouth. You want the word of God coming out of your mouth in faith. When the bear's attacking you, you better be speaking to the spiritual realm in authority and power. And if you wait for that situation to do it, it won't come out with authority. It'll come out with fear and trembling. You have to prepare now. Today, prepare what you're saying out of your mouth. There is life and death in the what? Power of the tongue. And with that, I rest my case. Amen. This is my beautiful wife, Diane.
Good thing I can talk as fast as I drive, right? That's pretty fast, actually. You know, when Vaughn asked us to talk about healing, I was like, Lord, how do you do that? Because, you know, it's such a vast thing. God uses so many ways and so many different manners of healing people. And the fact that, you know, he shared 2 weeks ago that he deals with things like his knees and different things. And, you know, we all deal with physical ailments at different times. And a while ago, the Lord had showed me a scripture in Galatians about Paul. And it talks about how it's 4:13. And he says, because as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ himself. Paul had an illness the first time he preached, but he was welcomed with open arms to preach the word and the gospel that he had. And in the Bible commentary I had, it said it could have been anything that he had. He could have had eye trouble, disability from being stoned. It might have been the thorn in his flesh. They didn't know, but he went on and he didn't let it stop him. Now, for this topic, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, download some fresh manna into me on this, because I want to hear something fresh for the times that we're living in right now. And he was just telling me that, you know, as faithful believers, you know, we're not immune to illnesses. Things happen in our lives, but God. It's but God that we can overcome these illnesses and these things. The Lord was showing me, too, that he says in his word so many times about healing, that he teaches about healing. Well, obviously, he knows that some of us are going to get sick. And he knows that we're going to be ministering to others who are sick. So he's given us tools and instructions on how to heal the sick so they will recover. Because it's his will. In Psalm 91:16, we're told that it's God's will to satisfy us with long life and his salvation. He was showing me that most Christians believe, you know, salvation is when we confess Jesus Christ, we confess our sins, and it is that. But in the New Testament, the word saved has a broader meaning. And in the Greek word, it's called sozo. It's S-O-Z-O. And it's used 57 times in the New Testament. It actually means not only to save, but it means to save, deliver, protect, and heal. Part of that salvation is healing. God, when he saved us, is the whole ball. He gave us the whole enchilada, you know, the whole thing together. Along with salvation, he delivered us, he set us free, and he healed us at the whole time together. Salvation is a complete work. In the Bible, Jesus declared that they were made whole when he healed people. When he laid hands on people or he put spit in somebody's eyes, he said, "Now you have been made whole." God is looking to make us whole. Remember that word whole. In Psalm 103, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." God wants to heal all your diseases. Rich and I have seen AIDS healed. We've seen cancers healed. I know that God has, he healed my daughter-in-law, who was pregnant, and she had You know, I always forget what it's called, placenta previa. And, you know, we prayed for her, for that baby to turn in the womb, and it didn't look good in the beginning, and she was in danger, but God turned that baby. And that was a sign and a wonder for her because she doesn't follow God. And I said, many were praying for you that the baby would turn, and he was born naturally, and I'm a grandma now. You know, yay! You know, but at the same time, my father was dying of Alzheimer's. And you know, it's like God was showing me that with the Alzheimer's, we prayed for him to be healed, and it wasn't happening. And God downloaded something into me about that, because my dad was always afraid to die. Even though he believed in God and he went to church, he wasn't a Christian who does the things that we do, but he was a believer, but he was afraid to die. And the Lord showed me that he allowed the Alzheimer's because it took my dad kind of out of his mind. And an interesting thing, when my dad was passing away and we called hospice in, hospice has a booklet that talks about dying. And it was really interesting because it said not to put on life support, not to put on the feeding tube and even IVs. And it was really interesting because it explained how, and it called it nature, but I said to my mom, look what God did. God made the body so that when you are about to die, things close down, and actually, if you add fluids in, you're causing pain into the body, but God has made a way where when you're passing away, that it's like virtue comes in, and you go to sleep. And it's so amazing because we watched my dad go to sleep. And what a wonderful way to go home with the Lord. And right before he passed away, he looked at my mom. He'd been kind of in a sleep mode for a little while. His eyes opened up. He looked at her, and then he went. And, you know, it was like he went to sleep. And I thought, how awesome. My grandson was born at 6:30 in the evening. On a Tuesday, and life came in. My grandson, Cody, now has life on this earth. 8 hours later, which was the next day, on the 10th of February, my dad went home to be with Jesus, but he has life eternal in heaven. And, you know, we have this life cycle, and we have to get to the point where we're not afraid because, you know, if I perish, I perish. Esther wasn't afraid, you know, and we got to be in this point where God heals. It's God's will that healing happens. It started in the Old Testament. The first reference to healing is when Abraham prayed for King Abimelech and for his wife to have children. He prayed, and she bore children. The next healing reference is in Exodus 15:26, and this is when Moses led Israel from the Red Sea into the desert. 3 days with no water came, and they came to Marah, and the water was bitter, and Moses cried out to God, and God showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and it became sweet. Now, remember this about water, because God was showing me something about tying water into healing, and at this time, the healing happened to the water. The water had been stagnant. It was just sitting there. There was no life in it. And Moses cried out. God wants us to cry out when we have a need, when we have a need for living water, to cry out. And he showed him, just throw a stick in it. And he threw a stick in, and the water was made sweet, and they had life. And God did a miraculous healing of the water. And it's really so amazing. We have to listen to the voice of the Lord. In the Word, it says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord God who heals you. God proclaimed it. He declared it in the Old Testament. I am the God who heals. And the interesting thing is, when the time he took the people from Egypt going through the Red Sea till they got there, to the desert, they were not feeble. The Word says they all arrived there not feeble. 600,000 men plus women and children arrived in the desert, and they were healed. They were healthy and whole. But we all know what happened. They decided to worship idols instead, and guess what? Plagues came forth. Things came forth. It's an attitude that happens. Diseases and sicknesses were all around. God knew that the Hebrews needed supernatural protection from diseases. And that's how we have to walk. We have to get out of the natural and get into the supernatural. Because God is a supernatural God. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit that is supernatural. And when we get out of the natural, because a lot of times we'll think, well, I can't lay hands on that person. You know, I do have a pain in my arm. And it's like, well, I can't preach on healing. I can't lay hands on somebody and they'll get healed because I'm dealing with this stuff. But God says, get out of the natural and get into the supernatural. Allow the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, and you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. I know that one time when I worked at the radio station, I probably shared the story before, but there was a woman who burned her hand on the stove, and it was very bad. And I sat on my desk, and I felt bad for her, and I sat there thinking in the natural, you know, Lord, I don't have the faith. It's a burn. You know, burn is a burn is a burn, and it's there, and she burned her hand. And I thought, well, maybe I should pray for her. I should pray for her. So I said to her, you know, I think I'm supposed to pray for you, but I don't really, you know, think I have the faith for it. And she goes, well, I was going to ask you to pray, but I don't have the faith for it. So I said, you know what? It says in the Word, if you have unbelief, pray for your unbelief. So we prayed for our unbelief. Then I prayed and declared healing over her. And she was in so much pain, she went home. She said she laid down, put her hand in a bucket of water, fell asleep, woke up, and her hand was totally healed. Praise God. You have to get rid of that doubt and unbelief so you can move forward and trust God. Another incident that happened here in the church with Diane DeSico's sister, Kathy, she was also told she had cancer, and I heard about it at home. I was told to pray, and that Sunday, the Lord told me, go pray for her because she's going to be healed. God will direct you. When you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, He'll direct you and tell you when it's your time to move. You know, and I walked in and I almost ran to her because I said, God told me to pray for you because He wants to heal you. And we laid hands on her and she was healed. You know, God will tell us when to pray, how to pray, what to do in these situations. You know, God didn't demonstrate His power just in the Old Testament. He went to the New Testament. And there's so many instances. I have to mention in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi released a prophecy about the future healing power of God, and he said, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stalls. Malachi prophesied that this was coming, that healing was coming on the wings, and it talked about the Son, and in that scripture, it's S-U-N, but it says the Son of Righteousness. Well, actually, it's kind of like an analogy, because our S-O-N came to bring healing in His wings for us. And the Messiah, He would bring that spiritual light to the entire world that was prophesied in the Old Testament. The healing in His wings is actually a Hebrew word. The wings is kanaph. It's K-A-N-A-P-H. And it refers to the edge of a garment. And it actually refers to what Rich was talking about when the woman with the issue of blood tugged on the garment of Jesus. It probably was a prayer shawl because He was Jewish and they wore the prayer shawls with the strings and the tassels that hung down. And she probably pulled on that. And what happened was Jesus felt power go out of Him into her, and she pulled on it. And actually, Rich was talking too, the word virtue in Greek is dunamis, which is miraculous power and ability, but it also is that same power, that same Greek word that talks about the Holy Spirit power of healing that comes forth. The virtue is the healing power that comes forth when we reach forth and tug on the edge of His garment. This is how the apostles were taught, the people in the early church were taught to go out in their healing ministry, that the ability was given to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Covenant, it was Jehovah Rapha, and that was His name revealed over the Hebrew nation. But in Jesus' time, He instructed us, His followers, to ask in the name of the Father, to ask the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, in the power of the name and the power of the blood. I've seen so many times when you declare the blood of Jesus upon someone, that blood of Jesus is cleansing, it's powerful, it's healing, that anointing comes forth. Jesus ministered in four levels of healing that revealed in the four Gospels. Miracles of physical healing were talked about in Matthew. Miracles of casting out spirits in Luke. Creative miracles, rather in Mark. And then in Luke was creative miracles and special miracles like Jesus turning water into wine was in John. Jesus commissioned His disciples to go forth, preach and heal. And we are his disciples. We have been commissioned to go forth to preach the good news, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and to know that we are called and commissioned to do it. Not just me, not just you, but all of us are called to go forth and do this. Miracles happen through signs and wonders. It happens because of an anointing. It happens through deliverance and through the faith in the atonement. Ways that bring forth healing are laying on of hands, anointing sick with oil, and praying in faith. The gifts of healing. Now, there is a gift of healing. Some people have that gift of healing, and people will come to them because they have that gift. But guess what? We can all move in it. Every single one of us can move in that gift of healing. The spoken word, as the word comes forth, declaring over someone. I was declaring over my daughter-in-law, that baby will turn in Jesus' name. Declaring over people who are not feeling well. I've declared over myself. I've had knee problems, and one day I wanted to dance in here so bad because everybody was leaping and jumping, and I was like, Lord, I bent over, laid hands on my own knees, and declared that they would work in Jesus' name, and I was up there dancing. Amen. We have to know the power in the spoken word. We can't just think it. We need to do it. We need to speak it forth because there's power in the word. Then there's an act of obedience. It's doing what you're told to do. If God tells you to do something, do it. Go speak to someone. If God says, go tell that person so-and-so and such, do it, because you don't know. That person with the leukemia, God told me to go to her, and he told me she had a disease. And I said to her, God told me you have a disease. And that's when she told me, I have leukemia. You know what, too? When we get diagnosed with something, God showed me this a long time ago, because I have borderline blood sugar problems. And so the doctors like to diagnose me with diabetes. And so I always say, the doctors have diagnosed me, but I don't have it. I don't receive it. And you know, when I watch my diet and I'm obedient to the things of God, guess what? I don't have it. We need to get to the point where a diagnosis is fine, but then declaring that you don't have it. Declaring that you are healed by the stripes shed at Calvary. It's okay to get the head knowledge, but then we got to move with the spirit knowledge. Move with the spirit knowledge over your life. And another way is actually when you receive communion. When you receive communion, examine yourselves. And as you receive communion, God has done many, many healings at the communion table. Know that you can do communion by yourself on your kitchen floor. I remember years ago, this is not necessarily healing, but Rich did it when we lived in Virginia Beach, and he was struggling with studies. He got down in the kitchen on the floor and did communion by himself. And you know, it turned around. And he ended up being a straight-A student in the college there. And, you know, God turns things around when we're obedient. Things that hinder, unforgiveness hinders, unconfessed sin, demonic oppression, past disappointments that have hindered our faith, fear hinders. Other people can hinder us. How many times you've been on a diet and someone, they know it, and then they offer you all these desserts? I have that happen all the time. People can hinder us in our healings. The unbiblical teachings can hinder. Sometimes it's a failure in a church to not seek the gift of healing. Well, you know what? It's been unleashed in our church. We have now walked to the point where we are walking in the power of the gifts. It's been opened up. It's been verbally said from the pulpit. We are a church that moves in the power of the gifts. We are a church that moves in healing and in speaking in tongues and deliverance. And so it's been brought forth here so we don't have that hindrance. And we are going to see healings happen in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you know, so many times sickness tries to come on, and I learned something else the Lord just showed me. When David was, after he slew Goliath, there was four other giants that came along, and one was Goliath's brother. His name was Lami. But you know what? David had stones left. You know, if something tries to come back on you, you still have stones left. You can still take them down. Don't let it come back. Lots of times when I feel something come back, I know it's the lie of the enemy, and I say, I don't buy the lie. You know, when I feel a cold coming on, when I feel symptoms coming on, I'll admit I take extra vitamin C and I take things that I'm supposed to. But you know what? I start declaring in Jesus' name, I don't catch it. I don't catch things. When I go to hospitals to see people, I say, don't worry, I don't catch things. I declare that. And I will say, I have not caught things. You know, and when a cold is coming on, it's I don't receive that in Jesus' name into my body. And I might have the symptoms for 24 hours, but you know what? Most of the time it leaves. How are we going to fight these things? Are we going to give in to them? God is saying it's time to pick up the sword and to fight this thing through. Because by the stripes shed at Calvary, we are healed. We are healed. We are a healed people. We are a healed church. We need to move from the natural to the supernatural. Where faith is, God can use all of us. We need to expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Expect the healing to come forth. Expect that God is going to move in our lives. We prayed and believed that Rich's dad was going to be healed, and he lived 22 years after having stage 4 cancer with 2 months to live. We have to declare these things. In our church, what we need to do, you know, God was showing me how Naaman had, he was told, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. It had to do with the cleansing of the water. And we need to go to the Jordan. And God was showing, this is the part he was downloading into me from his spirit. We need to step into the Jordan. We need to step into the waters. The name Jordan actually means flowing downward water. It's water that flows downward, like holy rain that falls down. Rain down on me. Healing rain. I love Michael W. Smith's song, Healing Rain That Falls on Us. Because that's what it's doing. As we step into the Jordan, that flowing rain of healing power is coming down. In ourselves, in the church, we need our waters healed so we can be used to heal. I know I'm going long, but God downloads, if you have to go, go. But God laid something on my heart that I know is important. I love Elijah and Elisha. I love how Elisha picked up the mantle from Elijah because he watched him leave. As we watch the power of the Holy Spirit, as we keep our eyes on God, God is dropping forth double portion anointings upon people in this place. He's pouring them down. And we can receive that double portion anointing. Elisha picked it up. He was eager to get it. He wanted to run to get it. When someone calls forth for healing, run to get it. Don't hold back. I've held back lots of times and you miss it. But go forth. Run for it. In 2 Kings 2, 19 and 22, it says, the water needed to be healed to be productive. This is talking about when they were going someplace and they came to Elisha and they said, the water is not healed here. The water, this land is dying. It says, the men of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, the town is well situated. We're well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Well, the water has been bad in this area. I'm saying that in the past tense. It has been bad. And the land here has been unproductive in the past. He goes, bring me a bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. They went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. God is saying, we are the salt. It says in Matthew that you are the salt of the world. Salt brings flavor. Salt brings life. And God is saying, he's put salt into the water in the Hudson Valley, in the Hudson River, in the rivers and ponds and streams and lakes in this area. He's put salt in by putting us in. We are walking in the living waters of Jesus Christ. God is saying that we are a church of living waters. And it says here, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water remained wholesome. It's whole. It's been made whole. God is making this area of Ulster County and beyond, he's making it whole. He's calling us to be a people walking in wholeness. And it says, to this day, according to the word Elijah had spoken, he spoke the word, the spoken word, the word of life, the word of living water was spoken. And God is saying, it's time to speak forth the rivers of living water. It's within each one of us that has accepted Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit is within us. The rivers are there. If you don't do anything within you, it gets stagnant. But if you start moving and asking God to speak to you, asking him to tell you who to pray for, how to pray for. There's methods, there's ways, there's God's madness. You know, it's like God says some weird things sometimes, but do it if you know it's God. You know, God gave me a word for Vaughn when he was in India. And actually, 2 weeks before, I'm going to end with this. God gave me a word when Jeff Martin was here, and I was sitting here, and it was right before my dad passed away, so I was like, Lord, is this for me? And I heard him say, no, it's for the church. And it's so funny, because I knew God was preparing me to share this scripture to the church here, and I didn't know when. And just a week after that, you know, my dad passed away, and then Vaughn asked us to come and preach today. And it's in Psalm 84, and it talks about, I love the whole chapter, and it talks about how lovely is the dwelling place. But inside here, the part that God had told me to go to, he said, blessed are those whose strength is in you, have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which is the valley of tears, it says, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. The word strength to strength actually means, in other translations, mountain to mountain or glory to glory. And God was telling me to pass this scripture to Vaughn, and I emailed it to him when he was in India, because the Lord told me when he was in India for Pastor Augustine's funeral that it's okay to grieve, but don't pick up the burden. Instead, pick up the glory, because there's been glory there in that place. Come back with God's glory. And I shared this scripture because God is saying that even though we've been in a place of tears, that water is building up from our tears. God uses our tears. He's put them in a pool. And because of those tears that have come together, that place of living water, life has come out. Life, the autumn rains have come forth. And we will go from glory to glory, strength to strength, mountaintop to mountaintop. God wants us this day to have a mountaintop experience with him. He wants to pour forth the healing rain. He wants to touch our hearts. This is a word from God that this church, under our pastor, is going to be a place from glory to glory with God's healing power. And I declare it into the atmosphere this day that this is a day of healing, that this is a day of deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You are mighty, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every person in this room, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that living waters are flowing through each one of us this day. And I thank you, Lord, that the healing rain is coming forth and touching each one of us, that the healing rain is setting us free from our sicknesses and our bondages, that the healing rain is bringing life so that we can go out from this place and bring life, that we are going out and being salt in a dry place. I thank you, Lord, that the waters are rising in this place. The God is saying right now that the waters are rising, and it's not the physical creeks. It's the spiritual waters that are rising up above us. And are you wanting to step into the Jordan right now, even though it's deep? God is saying today is a day to step into the Jordan, to not be afraid, to come forth right now in Jesus' mighty name. God is saying if you want a touch from him, to come forth right now, because he wants to heal. He wants to deliver. God is saying if leaders of the church want to come forward, God is saying right now to come forward, because the healing rain is falling. And I thank you, Jesus. We go forth this day with an anointing, with power, and with might. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. Bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. You heard the word of the Lord today, and it's about healing. So if there's someone here, you need a healing in your body, you need a healing in your heart, you need a healing in your emotions, whatever it is. God takes care of the whole person. Somebody's heart might be broken. Somebody's emotions might be broken. Somebody psychologically might be broken. Somebody's struggling with stuff in your mind. Today is the day of healing. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of those things that are not seen. It's right now that God wants you to come. Right now, come forth. Don't wait on your healing. Don't wait on your miracle. Just come forth. It's not about what anybody's going to say or what anybody's thinking. This is about you and God. Don't sit there if you know you got trouble going on in your life. Don't sit there if you know you got circumstances going on that you can't control. You need to give them to somebody that's bigger than you. Somebody that wants to make a change in your life. Somebody wants to make a difference in your life. Come on, why the anointing is flowing. Come on, so God can touch your heart. You're in the place of healing. What did you expect when you came here this morning? God wants to change your situation. God wants to change your circumstance. But it's up to you to believe that he has the power to do it. You're in the right place. Come on. I was preaching last night when Jesus came into the synagogue with the man with the withered hand. He told him, stretch forth your hand. See, you got to do something about your situation. You got to make that move towards God today.